Welcome to SaaS Business Secrets with Stacia, where we bring you the latest in starting your six-figure SaaS business and beyond. Visit SaaSBusinessSecrets.com to find out more. Now here's your host, Stacia.
Hey everybody, it's Stacia. I'm super excited to share with you. We have a special guest today, and actually, this special guest is super important to me because this is actually the whole reason why I became a SaaSpreneur. My name is Stacia Kennedy, and I am an online entrepreneur, online marketing, digital marketing consultant, a strategist, but I've actually transitioned over the last year and a half to a SaaSpreneur because of this man right here. So if you don't know Jason Wardrop, he is an entrepreneur from a very young age, had a lot of side hustles as many entrepreneurs have gone through and trying to find that one thing. And I believe I found the one thing that has really, in the last year and a half, exponentially grew my business and the strategy and offer. This man has been a real estate SaaSpreneur over the last, actually in 2015, he partnered way back when you had to actually hire developers and start your own software company. And we're going to ask him some really hard questions about how he got started and how you can actually do this without a lot of the struggles. So let me bring up Jason Wardrop.
Stacia, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm super excited to have you here because I actually came across your YouTube channel years ago and I've bought a few courses. I've been in the real estate marketing space. And then I had a client that came up and it'd been a while, been a few years since I've gone back through. And I was actually looking you up again to update myself on real estate marketing, generating leads through Facebook ads. I don't know. I was actually looking for my old course I bought from you. And I was like, where is it? And then I saw that you were doing the SaaS with High Level as a white label. When I got started, to be honest, I watched one of your webinars and I was like, I could do this on ClickFunnels and put this all together by myself. So I was like, why would I want to do this?
It looks pretty easy. If he can do it, I can do it.
So tell me how you got started building your own SaaS business.
So mine goes back. I mean, I've always been an entrepreneur. I've never had a normal job. And when I was in college, even going back a little bit farther, all growing up, my dad, my uncles, they were all entrepreneurial. And most of them were in real estate or some form of real estate. And so I had the opportunity to learn about real estate and how cash flow is king, which, you know, are kind of all the hot buttons of YouTube nowadays. You got Grant Cardone preaching about all this stuff. But I was able to see that from an early age. And so I was thinking always that I was going to want to do real estate. But I always was interested in the tech side of things too, growing up. I was nerdy with my computers classes and design, all that stuff. So in college, I did a summer internship with my uncle who does commercial real estate. He has several shopping centers. And so me and one of my cousins, we went and just worked for him for the summer for free. But like, he's like, you'll get experience, be able to see what it's like. And this was the route I thought I wanted to go down. And after a summer of doing this, I'm like, man, this seems like the worst. Like, this does not vibe with me at all. I don't really enjoy going out and searching out the properties and doing the due diligence, all this stuff. But at the same time, I was always studying online things. And I thought, you know, online's super cool. So then I realized, I'm like, software, how they charge monthly software subscriptions is almost like having tenants pay you rent every single month. And I thought, you know, that could be cool because instead of going to doing your traditional real estate and getting, whether it's an apartment complex or more of a commercial like shopping center tenants in, you just get users signed up, paying you a couple $100 a month and grow it that way. And so, I mean, this is back before I knew anything about anything. And I had met this developer through a friend just at a lunch meeting, and he had some success with the software company, scaled it up. He wasn't very smart, lost literally everything. And so we were talking and he's like, hey, we should do this, you know, software program. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, and we should do this. So we were starting to collaborate. And actually now I'm thinking about, I don't know if I've ever shared all these different moving pieces anywhere. So this is a little bit more additional behind the scenes for y'all. Anyway, so we collaborated, we were working together. We started out like I was working at full time just because I had nothing else going on. This guy was a little bit older, had a family, had a full time day job. And so it was us two. And then we ended up bringing on a few other developers. So we're all just working on it part time. And we were doing it for about a year and a half or so. I'd gone through and I pitched to like some Microsoft venture startup program. We were like in the top, I'd say probably top 5 to 10 to win this like potential scholarship to get funding for the software company. Honestly, I don't even remember the details, but that company blew up. Like it was an internal partnership issues, like a lot going on. And so what I thought was going to be my first like software success ended up blowing up. But what we did is we had already built not a lot of the software platform, but enough to like get something start, like to show something. And so what we did is we signed agreements saying like, look, everyone can now have a copy of the code. Everyone can go their own way, do whatever they want. And so what I did was I took my copy of the code and I was not a developer. And so I went and found another developer to partner up with. And then I was like, well, if we're going to really be able to pay this developer, got to raise some money. So I went and started doing all the investor pitch meetings. We raised a little bit of seed funding and then it was off to the races. So anyway, that was maybe more than you wanted to hear, but there's the full background of how I got into that. So that was about May 1st, 2015, when he officially launched the real estate CRM. But it wasn't even in the real estate space at that point.
Well, bringing that all up right now, because I want to also share with them not what we've found to make things super easy for people who are not developers.
Yeah, totally. So we went and at the time I told my developer partner, and he was a little bit older. He had a family, all that stuff. I was just always in the mindset, and I thought all entrepreneurs were in the mindset of work for nothing and just work for sweat equity and make it happen. And then I get out and I like realize, no, like almost everyone wants to get paid and they want to make money from day one, which I'm like, I was just a little delusional coming in from like more of an entrepreneurial family. That's why we had to go through and raise money, because he was wanting, you know, like not like a full-time salary, but like a pretty decent sized salary plus equity and all that stuff. And so we got to the point after, I mean, we'll kind of skip over some things. We're not telling every little detail, but we got to the point where we started growing. We finally found a niche that was working for us, which is real estate, started making money, started growing, and got to the point where not only do we have to raise money initially to start this software company and really be able to go full time, we were also just in development costs paying $40,000 to $50,000 per month for developers, right? Just to have a product to be able to deliver. Going to what you're saying now is when I saw High Level 2 years ago and I started meeting with the guys and they were telling me about what you were able to do. And I was just looking at my own personal experience of like, you could either white label High Level for $497 a month, have the entire, all the features, plus this massive team of developers continually building new things that you don't even have to think about. You don't have to worry about hiring product managers, designers, developers, all these different pieces and managing the team. But for $500 a month, you could basically have your own software versus the whole path that I went through. I was like, man, that is a no-brainer. And I already knew, because probably about 2-3 years into our software, we had marketing agency owners reaching out to us saying, hey, can we white label your software? So we explored that for a little bit, but then we're like, ah, it's like chasing two different client avatars. So we kind of stopped doing that after a little bit of time. So I don't know, I guess I have the unfair advantage of experience. I already knew it was a desire for people in the marketplace, right? Before it was like becoming more popular to jump on, be an affiliate for High Level. I already knew the alternative if you wanted to start a software company. And just seeing it, I was like, this is a no-brainer. And
well, let's go back one more step too. Like, were you all already doing digital marketing for real estate? And then like saying, oh, I need to make a software. Like, how did you get to that part?
Yeah, great question. So that was May of 2015 when we officially started what was Arsenal MKG, our real estate CRM. And when I first, you know, kind of met that developer partner, it was 2013. So it's about almost 2 years. And then like, obviously that exploded all that stuff. But before that, I was dabbling with just like affiliate marketing, just a bunch of random stuff. And one thing that never made sense to me was, you look at the software landscape now, you're like, well, duh, Jason. But like back in the day, there was not an all-in-one solution. There was like a software for email marketing. There was a software like Lead Pages for landing pages. Then Lead Pages didn't even have websites. So you had to get like a landing page software, email marketing software, a website software, a CRM. So like there was different softwares for everything, a social media posting software. And so I was looking at this and I'm like, man, it'd be really nice to like just have something that's an all-in-one solution. Because for my own business, I'm having to have all these different platforms. And I remember meeting with advisors back at the time and they're like, no software company will ever do that because the ones that really grow, they just focus on one thing. And there's some wisdom in that. But then we went and we tried, and I'm not saying we were ever the most successful because we weren't, for sure not. But we were trying to go through and make a solution that was all in one for small local business owners. And initially, before real estate, kind of like we were talking about, I was like, look, this works for any business owner, because it did. It was like, we were integrated with Facebook ads. We had landing pages, email, text, follow-up, social media posting, like a CRM, all the things that any business owner would need. But then what I quickly realized, and this is why I coach people to do this now, is we didn't have a specific niche we were going after. And so we were trying to speak to everyone, which when you're trying to speak to everyone, you're speaking to no one. It's not resonating. So like I'd go pitch to a dentist and I'd be like, this is how it works. And well, do you have any other dentists that have done this? And I was like, well, here's this chiropractor that we helped. And he's like, that's a chiropractor. I want to see how it works for dentists. And so that's how we just like cast a wide net initially. And then I had a really good case study with a real estate agent, worked really well. And then I was like, well, maybe I can leverage that to get another case study. And then we just kept like getting more agents from previous case studies that we were getting. And I remember even like 90 days into it, I had this big insurance brokerage. They had like hundreds of agents approach me. And literally a month before, I like committed. I was like, I'm just doing real estate. I'm going to say no to anyone and everyone else. I had this warm referral of this massive brokerage company insurance. And I remember it was stupid, but like at the time I remember it was very hard. I was like, sorry, we just work with real estate agents. So I turned them down just to focus, double down on real estate, which who knows, it could have been even more successful, but real estate worked out just fine.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. People say when you find a niche, you get rich. So
exactly.
When I came back through and I saw your presentation about starting your own SaaS business, and I'm like, oh, the light bulb went off and I'm like, that's what he was doing. Oh my goodness, how smart. Like I had no idea at the time. I was looking at it like, well, I could piece all these, and that's what I would do is actually tell my clients, you need to get all these different softwares. And oh, nobody can ever do it right. No one had at the time all in one. No one could be the best at all of this because just whatever we had in the marketplace, lead pages, ClickFunnels, all of the different things could only do one thing really at the time. So I'm so glad that I came across your presentation about what you had done and you had grown it to, I noticed that it was like 15,000 clients.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what it took to do that? Because I just think that there's so many moving pieces of building your own SaaS business and then trying to get all these clients on board too.
Yeah. What it took was a lot of patience and a lot of determination and probably a lot of stupidity to keep going down the road to make that happen. I see like, and I fall prey to this too. Like I'm the one making the YouTube videos of make 10K in 90 days, whatever, because it's what gets clicks. But the thing that I try to tell people, and I've been thinking about it even more so recently, is the thing that really gets results is consistent output and multiply that by time. And the longer your time horizon on it, the more successful you can be, right? It's like, if you go and you're like, oh, I want to do what Jason did and get 15,000 paying clients. You give yourself 3 months, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be stressed and you're going to quit, right? Make that longer, give it a year. You're still probably going to be pretty overwhelmed and stressed, especially if you've never done it. But give yourself 5+ years. We were doing business for 6 years. It becomes a little bit more. And as you start like baby steps, it starts to become a little bit more of reality, right? You start small, take baby steps, stepping stones. And every step along the way, you're learning new things of how to improve upon different things. And that's where also I feel like I had an unfair advantage with jumping in the high level affiliate game. Cause like people that don't know my background about me having 6 years of building this software platform, we were at the high level summit just this last month and someone came up to me and was like, oh, how long did it take to, you know, start seeing results with high level affiliate program? And I just jokingly was like, oh, like
2 years.
I actually crushed it first month, like first 30 days. I was already doing really well. And they're like, no way, that's crazy. And I was like, well, caveat, I've been doing this for 6 years prior. So I wasn't starting completely from zero. Like I knew the blueprint, the format. And then even looking at now, because now I don't have to worry about managing a full product manager, development team, all that stuff. So my attention is not split. I feel like the progress I've made even these last 2 years of learning how to get software clients has expedited because it's all I focus on now. Whereas before, it was a majority of my time, but I also had to be like, okay, product, here's what we're like doing. And obviously I probably could have built the team out a little bit better, but it's been cool to see if this is the one thing I'm focusing on, the growth that's come from it. So yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, I think 100% of it has been mind-blowing for me as a mindset too. A lot of people coming across this may also just be new to the word SaaS, right? Software as a service. And I had to train myself, and with your coaching, actually, I've been helping me get away from the traditional done for you. Like I'm just so used to like having the client subscribe to all these things and putting the stuff together. But with this model, becoming a SaaSpreneur, I'm just selling the software as a service and pulling myself away from that. You're actually just promoting a software that doesn't have to be you. I just was so impressed of the opportunity to change my mindset around creating a particular business, an actual real business, and not a business like branded to me as the one fulfilling the product or service. Or I guess the question would be, what would your advice be on someone who's just learning that this is a whole different thing than just, you know, offering services to a client?
Yeah. And this is something that I think every newer entrepreneur, solopreneur, I know I've dealt with this a ton in the past, has difficulty with, especially when it's like your baby, right? Because you think that people are coming to your business or your software or your whatever widget you're selling because of you. And the truth is this whole thing, this whole opportunity, it's way bigger than you. It's way bigger than any one individual. You just got to think about it like Elon Musk, right? You go buy a Tesla, you're not expecting to ever talk to Elon Musk. They've got the whole chain of command. And so it's not like you sign them up, you never have to touch it, you forget about all the clients, all that stuff. Like, no, there's still service involved. There's still support involved, but you don't have to be the person. In the beginning, when I first hired that first initial person, man, it was weird. It was very difficult. And then I even remember after my first hire, I freed up like 80% of my time in my day. And it took me, I remember talking to my wife about it. It took me probably 2 to 3 weeks to even figure out what I should be doing with my time in my day. Because I'm like, whoa, this is so crazy that like, I just hired this person. They're doing almost like 80% of like the customer emails, the chat support, all this stuff that I was like spending so much time on. And so then I got to like step back and refocus on what was most important in my business to really move the needle. And then another thing that kind of blew my mind was like just the naive entrepreneur, like I was telling you earlier, is I just thought everyone wanted to be the entrepreneur. Everyone wanted to be doing the marketing, the sales, because that's what I loved. And I was like, man, I just don't want to hire anyone for support because that just sucks. No one wants to sit there and answer emails. And then I started hiring people and I realized, man, no, that is like some people's zone of genius. It is what they love. And they would hate to do sales, or they would hate to make videos, or hate to do all the things that I do. And so that like opened up my mind. And I know some people watching this are like, well, duh, you know, but like me coming from, I never worked a normal job. I didn't even know how like typical weekly meetings were structured or different people in a company were supposed to really be handled. To me, it was almost like mind blowing. I'm like, wow, okay. Like I'm not just selling my time as a service, as where it's like the software and tools as a service. Even if you are the face, like I very much was the face, but they didn't care about me. They cared about what it was going to do for their business. And if hiring somebody to be able to answer all of these support emails or questions at a faster time frame than I could, that was what it was going to be the better result for them. So anyway, there's just like a lot of little like realizations as you're going down the road that you kind of like, oh, okay, like little aha moments that are opening your eyes.
And then at least from the beginning, positioning yourself like, yes, I'm here, but I have a team. And so as a solopreneur, you're usually like, no, it's just all me. So,
well, and even at that, I remember probably that first year or so, I was like on my phone constantly. Like, we didn't have kids. It was just my wife and I. And I felt like if I got an email or a Slack message from someone on my team or email from a client, whatever, I felt like 9 p.m., I had to answer that, right? Weekends, had to answer it. Vacation, had to answer it. And I honestly got to a point where like, I didn't like who I was becoming. It was very low scale too. It wasn't like we were getting tons of new clients, but I just wanted to make sure they were having a great customer experience. They weren't going to cancel and they were going to stay. It's not like we were having tons of money coming in the beginning. And then I realized, you know what? If doing this whole entrepreneurial thing is like completely killing my lifestyle, it's not worth it. Right. And so it got to a point where some emails, I would see them pop in 9 p.m. And I just like, you know what? This is an issue right now. It's probably going to still be an issue in the morning. And guess what? I can probably handle it in the morning. And I bet you that person on the other end will survive. I slowly started doing that. And then I slowly started turning off my notifications. And then I slowly stopped even checking any apps that had to deal with work. And it made life so much better and made you want to like do this for the long haul and be enjoyable. And like the next morning or whenever you got to the emails or the Slack messages or whatever it was, crazy thing is people kind of survive. And then they get used to a cadence and they're like, I'm shooting Jason this email at 10 p.m. I'm not expecting them to answer till probably tomorrow morning, which is normal.
We train people how to work with us. And if I'm jumping at every single email, they're used to that. And
yes,
so training myself not to do that.
And then they take advantage too,
right?
Because they're like, oh, well, they're open to it. So you're just going to keep doing it. And then you're going to keep expecting them giving you the world, which is not healthy for either person.
So that kind of reminds me of the book, The E-Myth, right? Are you working in your business or on your business? What books would you recommend someone who's starting their entrepreneur journey in this space?
One thing closely related to what we're talking about right now is for sure the E-Myth Revisited right there is a great book by Michael Gerber. Another great one that just came out, one of my mentors, is called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. So Dan Martell, I was in his software mastermind.
I've seen some of his ads.
He's grown quite a bit on social media. I think he started 7 software companies, had 4 exits. He's now like a big time VC. And he talks about, And I've heard this concept before, but I loved in his book how he like breaks it down where it's like you got $5 an hour tasks, you got $500 an hour tasks, but he breaks it down even more granular. And I love the way he portrayed it of like, look, buy back your time. And he even gives formats of like, if you're making X amount of money per year, he has like a framework of if there's a task below, let's say you're making, easy math, $1 million a year or something like that. If there's something that you could pay someone, I think it was like $250 an hour or less, you should be outsourcing that thing. You should be paying them to do it because your time is not worth that amount of that project, whatever it might be. I don't remember all the numbers yet to go read the book, but it then opens your mind. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, that actually makes sense. A lot of these things I can actually afford. And I'm frugal. I'm a tightwad. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I can just do that. Like I could do that better. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs are like that, like rather not spend the money, where it's actually sometimes better to spend the money to free up your time so you can have more creative thinking and strategic thinking and be more of like the master strategic planner of your business.
Yeah, like that's why I saw your software and I was like, well, I can just do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
At the time, but big picture, 6 years later, I'm like, oh, that's what he did. Like,
yeah,
he was doing something that he found a solution to get people to that point faster and position it. Because before, I mean, I maybe made a couple $100 here and there for affiliate commission on referring these other tools, but to have your own software where you're making a reoccurring monthly income.
Yep.
So eye-opening. So I'm actually going to wrap this up. But if you're live, actually watching me live here, I am actually going to give you guys an insight on some more hard questions for Jason. But if you're not watching this live, it's actually going to be cut out into my membership. So if you want to learn more about starting your own SaaS business, then go over to stasiakennedy.com and actually Jason and I have put together. He's actually allowed me to take some of his trainings and show you step by step on how to start your SaaS business. If you're watching the replay, you'll definitely want to go over to stacyakennedy.com, get access to that step by step training and the rest of this extended live stream interview. So again, thank you so much for watching. Much love and aloha. And we'll see you guys on the next video.
Thanks, Stacia.